Vrindagajai, Namacharya Shidahuidas Thakur Jai, Purem Se Gaho Shikrishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Sivasati Gaur Vakta Vrindagajai, Shishi Radhakrishna Govagavana Sayam Kunda, Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Kijai, Vrindavadam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Navadiptam Kijai, Jagadadasami Kijai, Yuvanamai Kijai, Shivati Lassi Devi Kijai, Samveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai, Gaura Premananda Hari Hari. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Gaura Premananda. So, Om Aganat Timananda Shah, Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada, who has so kindly opened my eyes with the torch light of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So I understand there's a lot of reverberation here, right, in the temple room, so it may be hard. I'll try to pronounce things a little more clearly. So it's a little better now. So we're going to talk about His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada's arrival in the United States. And so Srila Prabhupada, first of all, is a Shaktivesh avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means he's an empowered incarnation. There's different types of incarnations. You've heard the word avatar before? I'm sure you have. There was even a movie by that name. And so the word avatara literally means to cross down. It's not like the movie, which means to cross over, but to cross down. And down from where? The spiritual world. So Srila Prabhupada was specifically assigned by Lord Krishna to write books and save this world. And Srila Prabhupada was predicted by Lord Nityananda, by Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said in every town and village his name would be chanted. Lord Nityananda said that wherever he wasn't able to reach, he would send his conquering general, Senapati, to make people Krishna conscious. Bhaktivinoda Thakur predicted that great personality would appear and would bring the whole world to Sridhar Mayapur, where the Europeans, Americans, and New Zealanders, I added that, would be... Actually, would be Bhaktivinoda Thakur wasn't even informed about this country. Anyway, so would be chanting Jai Satchinandana, Jai Satchinandana. And so Prabhupada was the fulfillment of these the prayers and the predictions of these great personalities. And in fact, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book in English which he sent to the Western world, practically the first Vaishnava literature written by an Acharya sent to the Western world, which is called Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts. And that book was later on found by the devotees, but that book was sent in the year 1896. Does anyone know what happened in the year 1896? Srila Prabhupada was born. So the same year that book reached the shores of the Malechadesh. You understand what it means? That means the land of the Malechas. The land of the outcasts, the land of the scheduled castes, as they say. And then as soon as the book reached there, Prabhupada was born. And then Prabhupada was also born, what day was Prabhupada born? Now don't say that. The day after Janmashtami. Or probably the day of Janmashtami, because Krishna was born at midnight. So the day of the Krishna's birth celebration, Prabhupada was born. Wow. I mean, do you need any more indications than that to understand Prabhupada's exalted position? So Prabhupada was given an instruction by his spiritual master, which was to preach in the Western world, and that instruction was given to many of Prabhupada's godbrothers. But Prabhupada uniquely took that instruction as his life and soul and had faith in that instruction, whereas many other persons
thought that that idea to preach in the Western world was not practical. And many other people thought that when Lord Chaitanya said his name would be chanted in every town and village, that was more or less a poetic statement rather than an actual prediction. But Prabhupada understood that completely, that it will be successful. So with that in mind, he embarked on the Jaladuta after convincing the steamship owner, Maran, what was his name? Sumanti Maharaji, convincing her that he wouldn't die. She was thinking he was going to die in the boat over. And he embarked on his trip to America. And then on the trip to America, he had so many challenges, such as heart attacks. And then finally, he was assured by Lord Krishna, who took his various incarnations and displayed to Prabhupada that he was rowing the boat. In other words, Matsyavatar, I don't know how a fish was rowing a boat, but somehow or other. It was Matsya, Kurma, Baraha, Nishinga. They were all rowing Prabhupada's boat across the Atlantic Ocean. And also when Prabhupada arrived in Boston Harbor, the captain told him this was the calmest crossing he's ever experienced. If any of you have done ocean voyages before, you know sometimes the waves are like 20 meters high. I've been on the ocean, and it's just like being on a roller coaster for days. So with Srila Prabhupada's health, it could have been disastrous for Prabhupada. But so he persevered and arrived in Boston Harbor, and on the boat he wrote this wonderful poem, which is called The Prayers to the Lotus Feet of Krishna, written on board the Jaladuta, and I'd like to read some of it. Because it indicates Srila Prabhupada's exalted position. So it starts off, and I'm not going to read the Bengali. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will attain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. And then Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world and all the cities, towns, and villages on the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams. Everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy. For you are the wisest and most experienced of all. If you bestow your power by serving the spiritual master, one attains the absolute truth. One's life becomes successful. If that service is obtained, then one becomes happy and gets your association due to good fortune. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is actually a quote from the Bhagavatam, because of my association with material desires one after the other, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? This is, of course, Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Nrsimhadev in the seventh canto of Bhagavatam. O Lord Krishna, you are my eternal companion. Forgetting you, I have suffered the kicks of Maya birth after birth. If today the chance to meet you occurs again, then I will surely be able to rejoin you. Oh, dear friend, in your company I will experience great joy once again In the early morning, I will wander about the coward pastures and fields, running and frolicking in the many forests of Braj. I will roll on the ground in spiritual ecstasy. Oh, when will that day be mine? Today, that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way, because I have a great longing. I call to you. I am your eternal servant, and therefore I desire your association so much, O Lord Krishna. Except for you, there is no other means of success. So several lessons we can learn from this poem, and then later on we'll read the other poem written by Srila Prabhupada. One lesson is Srila Prabhupada's abject humility. Most of us, when we're embarking on a particular mission, will say, yes, I have the intelligence, I have the strength, I have the ability, I'm going to do it. But Prabhupada is actually taking the position here that it's based upon the mercy, potency, and the knowledge given to him by his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. So that's humility. Sometimes people think humility means to be just very meek. In other words, not speak, not argue with people. But real humility means to attribute whatever success you have, or could have, or want to have, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And also, as we were mentioning this morning, real humility means to accept everything favorable for the Lord's service, reject everything unfavorable, to do the Lord's desire, and put aside your own desire. We gave you six symptoms of surrender. Prabhupada here is exhibiting the six symptoms of surrender, which we mentioned this morning. To accept everything favorable for devotional service, reject everything unfavorable. To always understand the Lord is protecting you. To always understand the Lord is maintaining you. And Prabhupada showed that by coming to the Western world with practically no money. And actually, even the money he came with, he couldn't change, because it was rupees. And then finally, be meek and humble. And the last one is to have no separate interest other than the interest of the Lord. So how do we know what the interest of the Lord is? Prabhupada knew by hearing the words of the spiritual master. And the words of the spiritual master contain within them the success potency of the Lord. Just like we worship Krishna, and we also worship Radha, and we worship Lakshmi Narayan. So whenever you have Krishna, you have Radha. Whenever you have Narayan, you have Lakshmi. Lakshmi is success. Some of you were born in Indian families, you do your Lakshmi puja, Diwali, and things like that. You have all your rituals. Don't spend money during Diwali, or else you'll lose it the rest of the year. And I just found out one of my disciples has the ritual, don't spend money after the sun goes down. So many crazy rituals. But if you want Lakshmi, you have to accept Narayan. Because otherwise, if you want Lakshmi without Narayan, you get Maya Lakshmi. That was Ravana's problem. So when you accept the order of the spiritual master, Lakshmi is there. Like Prabhupada gave the example that he left his business, home, everything. So one would think, oh, he's lost all good fortune. But then guess what? Prabhupada had a few children who didn't listen to him. And then Prabhupada got at least 5,000 children who did listen to him. Isn't that Lakshmi? You give up something for Krishna and you get much more. Like Prabhupada's father was very fond of saying that Krishna has 10 hands or 10 arms. And then with those 10 arms, he can take everything away. You can't protect yourself. Can you imagine being attacked by someone who had 10 arms? Holding your pocket, your wallet, and everything like that. You couldn't fight against it. And then Prabhupada said, when Krishna wants to give you something, he will give you everything. So in this way, Prabhupada experienced at least 5,000 obedient sons. How many people here have obedient children? None of them. Nobody's raised their hands right now. Not a single one. But Prabhupada had told them, so if you give up everything, your children will become obedient. Because it didn't work for my disciples. But anyway, that's a different issue. That's a different issue. I need therapy to talk about that one. But anyway, so and then Prabhupada lost his business, everything taken away. And then he became an extremely wealthy man. Prabhupada had homes in practically every major city of the world. Pretty interesting. Of course, Prabhupada also said that he couldn't live in any of the homes very long because he was cursed by the parents of his disciples. Because Prabhupada was relating that to the story of Narada Muni being cursed by Daksha, where Daksha was a very expert person at having children. I mean, he lost actually a lot of children to Narada Muni. 11,000 children to Narada Muni. And then he had some daughters. But anyway, so he Daksha cursed Narada Muni that he would never stay in a place, and Prabhupada said that he was cursed by the parents of his disciples to keep traveling. But then Prabhupada said something very interesting, that he was transferring the curse. Because you can transfer curses, you know. There's a whole methodology to doing that. So he would transfer the curses to his disciples. So now I'm suffering due to that. So I can only stay here for a few days and then Krishna sends me somewhere else. It's a difficult life. Anyway, so you see that Lakshmi came to Prabhupada. So many temples, so much wealth, so many books, millions of dollars or tens of millions of dollars of books, big temples in India like Bombay, Vrindavan, Mayapur were constructed, of course, the temple of the Vedic planetarium in Mayapur. So Prabhupada had nothing, and then he got everything, because there was Lakshmi there. So that's a hint for you. You surrender to Krishna, and you'll be successful. If you simply do Lakshmi puja, I don't know what's going to happen. Because you may get Durga, and you may lose everything. So if you want Lakshmi, you get Narayan. And Narayan comes with his pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, so Prabhupada had this faith. This is what Prabhupada is showing in this particular verse. Prabhupada had this faith in the order of his spiritual master. And Prabhupada would sometimes say to us that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. As Prabhupada said to us when we were ordered to produce 17 books in 1 month. 2 months, sorry. 17 books in 2 months. And the devotees kept saying impossible, and Prabhupada said, no, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And he Prabhupada said, if you don't do it, all this equipment you have, it was all printing equipment and everything like that, is all useless. And we were so proud of our material facility. We had computers, of course, old-style computers, and so many things that Prabhupada said, it's all useless. I said, Prabhupada, and I was thinking, how can this all be useless? It's so nice. The Prabhupada said, unless you can fulfill the order of the spiritual master. So Prabhupada showed that dedication, extreme humility, which we mentioned before, and many other qualities that ensured him success. So that's what Prabhupada wrote on the way over. So and then we'll go to the next prayer, which is, let me get to this, which is the prayer that Prabhupada wrote on this day when he arrived in Boston Harbor. It's called the Markinay Bhagavat Dharma. So this starts out, my dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me. But I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? Now, that's a shock. Many of you migrated here? I think just about everybody, not everybody, but we have a few Kiwis here in the room. But most of you are refugees. And from Fiji or from India or someplace like that. So you are thinking, this is a wonderful place. India, of course, is the land of Dharma, the land of religion. And in the West, this is part of the West here, in case you haven't figured that out, is the land of material things, material facility. And of course, Prabhupada said, the best combination is India with the West. Because India is like a layman. You know, material things just don't work so well there. Anyone who's driven a car or done anything material there knows it's really difficult in India. But spiritual things work really well. And in the West, it's the opposite. Material things work pretty good. And spiritual things, well, it's a struggle, bad association, you know, there's KFC in every corner. So much contamination. So Prabhupada wanted the West to combine with India. And Prabhupada said, the West is blind and India is lame. So you put them together and you get a regular person. So that was Prabhupada's mood coming to the Western world. So, but Prabhupada was not at all attracted. Prabhupada wasn't thinking, let me go to America to enjoy the facility. In fact, Prabhupada's father didn't want him to go to the West. Prabhupada's mother was thinking, let Abhay Charan go to London, become an advocate, you know, a lawyer. And the father said, no, he'll become contaminated. So Prabhupada had no desire for any material acquirements. So he was thinking, this is a horrible place. Why is it a horrible place? And we'll hear that in a second. Most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied. And therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. So how did Prabhupada come to that conclusion? He came to that conclusion because that's what the Bhagavatam says. In the 10th canto, first chapter, text 4, Nivritta Tarshar Upagyamanas, Vavoshadat Shotra Mano Biramad, Kautama Shlava Gunana Vadat, Puman Virajeta Bina Pashignat. And that verse states that the Krishna Katha is the remedial measure, the Bhavoshadi, for all material miseries. But the last part of that verse states, Puman Virajeta Vina Pashugnat, that those who eat animals will not be attracted. And in the West, and in Fiji too, people eat animals. And in Fiji, they even kill them in front of you. And they like to see the blood coming out. How gross it is. So people who eat meat, that's what Prabhupada was referring to here. People who are doing grossly sinful activities, they're in the mode of ignorance, they can never understand spiritual life. Nothing. Nothing. Because spiritual life can be understood when you come to the mode of goodness. That means you eat food in the mode of goodness, you have a lifestyle in the mode of goodness, you listen to music in the mode of goodness. Then you can understand spirit. The mode of goodness is like the airport. You can't take off in an airplane from anywhere except, you know, when you got a landing strip like that. You can't put an airplane here and take off. It's just not going to work. So you have to go to the airport. So the mode of goodness is like that. Of course, going to the airport is not enough. You got to get on a plane. So many people think just being in the mode of goodness, a vegetarian, is nice. Like Prabhupada said, we don't just preach vegetarian philosophy. Because he said even the monkeys sometimes are vegetarians. They love bananas. And they're definitely not very spiritual, except in Vrindavan. Because the monkeys in Vrindavan were previously sannyasis who just got a little too romantic, Prabhupada said. And that's why they took birth as monkeys. So those monkeys are spiritual. But the ordinary monkeys in the zoo here are not very spiritual and they're generally vegetarian. So Prabhupada wasn't interested in just preaching something mundane, just the mode of goodness. He was interested in transcendental life. But still the mode of goodness has to be cultivated to understand. We have to be vegetarians. We have to have a peaceful life. We have to cultivate samadhamma dapaksho cham, all of us, being peaceful, equal poise, self-controlled, in order to come to the stage of Krishna consciousness. It is necessary. For those of you who know logic, It's necessary, but it's not sufficient. You have to come to the mode of goodness. So therefore, Prabhupada is looking out, and practically the first thing he saw when the boat pulled into the Boston Harbor was advertisements for supermarkets. There was one supermarket called A&P. That was one of the first things, you know, advertisements for meat. And for Prabhupada, that was shocking. So many things were shocking for Prabhupada in the Western world, such as people not keeping promises. You know, for us, oh, someone doesn't keep a promise, fine. Your promises are made to be broken, right? And then when you make a promise, you cross your fingers. You don't have to keep your promise. Just keep the fingers behind the back so they don't see it. And when you get married, you do a prenuptial contract. So then in case of divorce, and you will get the dog and I'll get the house. Right? So that's the Western world. For the first time devotees left the movement, you know, blooped. We call it blooping. Prabhupada invented that word, bloop. Ooh, bloop. So the first time devotees blooped, Prabhupada couldn't believe it. It was just shocking. Wow, how is it possible someone could bloop? First time someone got a divorce in this country, Prabhupada said, how is it possible someone could get a divorce? This is the culture Prabhupada was coming from. You know, for us, it's just like we're desensitized to so many things. It's just ordinary. Oh, we got a divorce. Yeah, it's all right. Let's find you another wife. Right? Oh, yeah, you're smoking marijuana. That's okay. Just smoke a little less. But, you know, for us, in the Western world, we're used to everything. Everything. Everything goes in the Western world. Nothing shocks me anymore. And after a while, in the Western world, everything becomes legal, and if you disagree with it, they'll take you to court. And I'm not going to be specific about that right now. So, anyway, so this was Prabhupada's stance as a great, pure inhabitant of Vrindavan. Prabhupada is saying, I don't understand how they will understand it. But I know by your causeless mercy. How long do we have? As long as I like. No. The natives get restless. But I know by your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. There's again that faith in Krishna. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? O Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. All the living entities have come under the control of the illusory energy by your will, and therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. So by Prabhupada's desire, things are happening too. Because the pure devotee controls Krishna. Krishna is God. But one of the qualities of pure devotional service, now there's six qualities of pure devotional, I'm not going to ask you this question. Listen to the nectar of devotion. The last one is the only means of attracting or controlling Krishna. And Srimati Radharani, her last of her 20, of her qualities is what? She always keeps Krishna wrapped around her little finger. So a pure devotee, when he promises something, it'll happen. Because Krishna is duty bound. When Krishna promises something, it may or may not happen. Did you know that? Krishna said, I will not fight in the battle, Kurukshetra. Okay, we trust you. What are you doing lifting up the chariot wheel, Krishna? You promise. Why, I crossed my fingers. Anyway, so. Because I had to save my devotee, Arjuna. So therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is saying, Kataya Patijanihi Name Bhakti Pranashyati, Arjuna, you declare it that my devotee will never perish, because Prabhupada explains that people would not believe Krishna. So when a pure devotee, so Prabhupada has told us many things, of course. He's told us that if we continue chanting, following the rules and regulations throughout this lifetime, we go back to Godhead. Ordinarily, how long does it take to go back to Godhead? Does anyone know these verses in the Gita? Bahunam, Janvanam, Ante, Yanavam, Mam, Prapachate. after many births and deaths. One person in India told the devotees, he was from a Goswami family, he told the devotees that if you do your bhakti nicely, then in your next life, you can take birth in India as a Brahman. And the devotees went to Prabhupada and said, this person said that the best we can do is take birth as a Brahman. And Prabhupada said, you go back to him and tell him, if you do your duty nicely, as a Brahman, next life you will take birth in the West in the Krishna consciousness movement. So I don't know if the devotees ever went back and told that to that gentleman. But it is a fact that Prabhupada is guaranteed that if you serve this mission, remain faithful to the mission, and continue, you will go back to Godhead in this very, very lifetime. Otherwise, it takes a long time. Many, many lifetimes. And then another verse, Manushanam Sahasreshu Kaschid Yatati Siddhaya. You know, that verse. There are many, many people, maybe one is searching for perfection, and one out of those who have perfection, many of those, perhaps one knows Krishna the truth. So it's very rare. That's one of the qualities, actually, of devotional service. Very rare, very rarely achieved. But by Prabhupada's mercy, so many people are becoming pure devotees, and not only pure devotees, but gurus, leaders of the Krishna consciousness movement. So Prabhupada is stating this, therefore, if you desire their deliverance, only they will be able to understand their message. I wish that you may deliver them. Okay, there's Prabhupada's request. Krishna has to do. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation. And the Prabhupada here starts to talk about the methodology, his methodology of preaching. The words of Srimad Bhagavatam are your incarnation, and if a sober person repeatedly receives it with submissive awe reception, then he will be able to understand your message. And then Prabhupada quotes the famous verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, verses 17 to 21. And I'm not going to read the Sanskrit, but I'll read the English. Shri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Paramatma in everyone's heart and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has developed the urge to hear his messages. That it means the attachment, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted, and by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed in loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects... Oops. That's the problem with using these things. It's not like a piece of paper. With a piece of paper, if you touch it the wrong way, it doesn't go back to the beginning. But with these electronic devices, then you have certain challenges here. We're almost there. Okay. Here we go. One, two, three. As soon as irrevocable loving service is established in the heart, the effects of nature's modes of passion and ignorance. So here's Prabhupada's giving the solution. Such as lust, desire, and hankering disappear from the heart. Then the devotee is established in goodness. So Prabhupada has given the remedial measure here. You expose them to Krishna consciousness. You engage them somehow or other. I mean, Prabhupada was so enthusiastic in engaging people, he accepted all types of service. One time Prabhupada was giving a lecture, and someone came in 26 Second Avenue, and a bum, what we call a bum, street person, and he just brought in some toilet paper for the bathroom, and devotees were complaining, why did he come in? And Prabhupada said, he's done service. So when one serves a devotee, that's the beginning of one's devotional service. So he becomes completely happy, thus established in the mode of unalloyed goodness. The man whose mind has been enlivened by contact with devotional service to the Lord gains positive scientific knowledge of the personality of Godhead in the stage of liberation from all material association. Thus the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. The chain of fruitive actions is terminated when one sees the self as master. And then Prabhupada says, how will I make them understand the message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction so that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or a failure as you like. O spiritual master of the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you can make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel gladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance. O Lord, make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Signed, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladutta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. So today we are commemorating Srila Prabhupada's arrival and Srila Prabhupada's determination to carry out the message of his spiritual master. So any questions or comments? We'll keep it short because we've spoken for some time already. Yeah. Bhagavad Gita, page 34. Oh, the disciplic succession, okay. It's not page 34. I know where it is. Wait, I don't need to look at the disciplic succession. What's that? Does it end with Prabhupada? No. Why should it end with Prabhupada? Of course. Of course. Prabhupada's disciples, disciples of Prabhupada's disciples. Prabhupada actually said that he wanted his disciples, all of his disciples ultimately, to become qualified. And interesting, he said, all of them, he said, all the boys and girls. Because none of us are boys and girls anymore. But now we have to change all you old people. So Prabhupada wanted the men and the women to become gurus. And it's very apparent from Prabhupada's writing that Prabhupada wanted that. So Prabhupada wanted an army of spiritual masters. But, there's a big but. But Prabhupada didn't want us to become big, big, puffed up acharyas. See, there's a difference. Of course, we want to become acharyas with a small a. Because acharya means one who acts nicely. That's fine. There's achar prachar, speaking nicely, acting nicely, fine. But acharya with a big A is the founder of an institution, the head of an institution. Prabhupada wanted us all to cooperate with each other. Prabhupada said your love will be tested by how you cooperate. So in other words, even though we have gurus in ISKCON, the gurus are subservient to the will, first of all, of Srila Prabhupada and of course Srila Prabhupada's representatives, the GBC body. We're not independent. We work together. This will be a unique contribution to religion to have gurus working together cooperatively in a worldwide movement. Prabhupada didn't want to stop there, nor is the list of gurus in disciplic succession exclusive in terms of those were the only ones in the past. These are just the most prominent ones. Like sometimes people look at the list and they say, well, where was so-and-so, where was so-and-so, the point is, each and every level of guru that you see there, it spreads out horizontally. There's thousands on each, in the chronological order. At each time frame, there's thousands or maybe even millions of gurus, of bona fide gurus. So if you want to be a bona fide guru, you have to be submissive to Prabhupada's order. You have to be fixed in devotional service, never falling down. And you have to consider yourself a servant of Srila Prabhupada. And a humble servant of Srila Prabhupada. And you have to study Srila Prabhupada's books and preach the Siddhanta according to the way Srila Prabhupada did. And that's how one becomes a guru. Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to become a guru. He said, Mare gai guru hoi tare desh. Isn't it? Yari de katari kara. Ku Krishna upadesh. Everyone becomes guru, but become qualified. So, yes, there's many gurus. Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes, Bhakti Vinod.
Guru Maharaj, could you please elaborate on the causeless mercy of the Lord?
Okay. Causeless mercy of the Lord, well, of course, the word causeless means there's no material cause. But I got news for you. I hate to break the bad news. There's a spiritual cause. Because you have to accept it. You have to accept it. You have to make the changes. You have to make the endeavor. The Bhagavad Gita teaches us about five factors of action. And super soul is one of those factors of action, but the other ones are under your control. Like the plays, the doer, the endeavor, that's all under your control. So, causeless mercy means Krishna gives us the opportunity. Everyone gets the opportunity, but then you have to accept the opportunity. It's not a free ride. Not that you simply take the dust of a pure devotee's feet and then you sleep the rest of the time and you wake up back to Godhead 30 years later. You know, people say, and also, I'll tell you an interesting story where Prabhupada talked about someone who had Krishna's mercy, and some of you may have heard this story before. I was with Prabhupada in Jidam Mayapur one year, it was 1976, I believe, and I was explaining to Prabhupada how this one devotee with me had distributed 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas in 1 month. And Prabhupada's eyes opened wide, and he said, "He has the mercy of Krishna." And I was feeling envious. I thought, "Hey, Prabhupada, here I am. I'm the temple president. Don't I get any credit?" Prabhupada heard what I was thinking. And Prabhupada said, "You all have the mercy of Krishna." I thought, that's my favorite. And then Prabhupada said, finally, he said, "But," and then there's a "but," you know, "but" sort of negates what you said before. But he said, you know, basically he indicated that those who go out and preach, they're like the gopis. So I was thinking, why can't I be like that? Anyway, so, because if Prabhupada was indicated that this person actually made extra endeavor to please him, so he got more mercy. The mercy is causeless, but also one of the factors is how much we accept. Just like the rain is causeless. It falls everywhere. It falls on the concrete, falls on the marble, falls on the grass. But the grass accepts it. So we have to be like that, except the mercy is open to everybody. It's not that Krishna's claim favorites. You know, sometimes you hear a devotee say to another devotee, "You got so much mercy, Prabhu." No. Krishna says in Gita, "Samoham sarvabhuteshu name dvesho stinapriyaha." Sama, I'm equal. Sarvabhuteshu, all living entities. No one is especially dear to me. No one is especially my enemy. But if you act in a certain way, you become more dear to Krishna. Sarva Riyamayam Sarvanam Riyam Dvaham Malanyate Dachanati Naham Tejo Managapi. That if someone loves Krishna, keeps Krishna in his heart all the time, then Krishna keeps that person in his heart. So it's reciprocal. Like the verse, Yayatamam Bhavachante Tamsitaiva Vajami Hamamavarmani Vartante Manushaparta Sarvasha. So it's all reciprocal. So everybody has the mercy. But some accept more than others. So don't think, sometimes, all right, so let me give an example of what happens sometimes. I talk to people and I say, sometimes it's disciples, whatever, and I say, you should control your senses. And they say, well, that's easy for you to say. You're a pure devotee, I'm not. That's a big excuse. That is a big excuse. Say, why are you in Maya? Because Maya isn't, Maya put me in Maya. You understand? We always have excuses. Why are you so attached to enjoying your senses? Because of Maya. It's a good excuse, Why do you get angry? Because I'm in Maya, Prabhu. You can blame Maya for every single thing that goes wrong in your life. But you got to take a little bit of the blame for it. So take responsibility. The mercy is for you. You can become a pure devotee instantaneously. In a second, you can see Radha and Krishna dancing in front of you. Of course, I see them right now. But anyway, so in a second, you can see them dancing in front of you, or it could take 10 million lifetimes. What do you want? Instant? Okay, we'll talk to you later about it. Better warn your wife about this. No, let's take a little longer. Okay, any other quick questions? Because we're actually over time right now. No, we should end now because it's time for... We have a Guru Puja now? So you have Guru Puja and I have a whole program. Two, I have to visit some people in hospitals and things today. So we come here to visit the devotees and enliven them in Krishna consciousness. And also we have devotees from time to time in hospitals and other places where we visit. Devotee care. Oh yeah, I wanted to end with this. It's very important. One thing that will help expand our movement more than anything else is caring for the Vaishnavas. So we need to establish a culture of care where if a devotee needs anything, or having some difficulty, or getting sick, the devotee should rush to care. This is the most important thing we can do with Krishna consciousness, apart from chanting Hare Krishna, is service to the Vaishnavas. And there's so many verses from the Vedic literatures that indicate this, Mahatsevam Horvi Muktes, I can go over and again. There are so many verses. But if you really want to advance quickly, that's how you do it. So Prabhupada was doing Vaishnava Seva when he came to the Western world. He was serving his guru. And we have the opportunity here to have so many Vaishnavas that we should understand Manina Manadeva. Offer all respects and service to each and every Vaishnava, especially a Vaishnava who is in need. And that will attract many people to our Krishna consciousness. So, thank you very much. All glories to His Divine Grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Yeah. Okay. Very well.